He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good morning and welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we reach the climax of the church year. Today you will hear again the truth of what is. On Thursday, we contemplated whether or not the word is a question. On Friday, you heard that the word is a statement. But today, Today, the word is an exclamation. For he is risen. Earlier this morning, we recognized the truth that Jesus is not in the tomb anymore. In baptism, God bound our destiny with Christ's, so that what happens to Jesus will happen to us. So, unless Jesus comes back and allows us to skip to the end, just like Jesus died, we will all die. Just like Jesus was laid in a tomb, we will all be laid into a tomb. However, because of that bond that was formed through the water and the word, it also means that just like we cannot find Jesus in a tomb, we also will not be found in a tomb. For just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we also will be raised from the dead. Today, we will be talking about what that means for us. Because while I'm sure that you have all heard the story before, I'm not sure that you've heard why it's important that Jesus is indeed risen. Now make no mistake, it's a great story. In fact, calling it the greatest story wouldn't be exaggerating. But why does it matter? Why is it important for you and for those around you that Jesus is right now at this very moment alive and well? Let's think about that. Let's think about what it means for the church as a whole. The church is the body of Christ. And when Jesus was crucified, they literally killed the church. We see it even before he actually dies. Jesus' arrest and betrayal broke the church. The group of people who had gathered around Jesus, who believed in his words, scattered. It wasn't just Judas that betrayed Jesus that day. It was all of them. It was all of us. Then, once Jesus was killed, the remnants of the church were hiding like criminals. They had locked themselves into the upper room, just hoping and praying that the Romans wouldn't find them, that the chief priests wouldn't be able to hunt down where they were and come and kill them as well. They were afraid. They were afraid that it was over, that the church had been broken and killed permanently. But the resurrection changed that. The resurrection, in fact, brought the church back to life. And how interesting it is that it starts with the women. The women come. They see the empty tomb. And at first they're confused. But then they see Jesus. And their confusion is replaced with more joy than we can probably possibly imagine. Their Lord is back. He's alive. He's here. He's okay. And that means that they're going to be okay. It wasn't just the women, of course, though. As our epistle reading reads, there was 500 witnesses, at least, that Jesus appeared to, most of whom at the time of writing Corinthians were still alive and who one could go and talk to and tell and ask questions about. This witness, these people who are willing to testify to the truth of what they had seen with their very eyes, again, resurrected the church. It brought the body of believers back together into a whole. And of course, perhaps most importantly, the apostles came back. Of course, they weren't apostles quite yet because Jesus hadn't sent them quite yet. But these were the ones who were going to go out into the world and who were responsible for preaching the truth. They were the ones who were responsible not just for holding the church together, but for growing the church. For going out and speaking the word to people so that the Spirit might work through that word and add to their number. And if you remember when that starts at Pentecost, he works greatly through that word. So the church, just like Jesus, has been resurrected this day. We are not a dead organization. We are not a fading away group of people that no longer matters. We are alive. We are healthy. And we are growing. All because Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our head, is currently alive. And therefore, he will continue to make us alive as well. Of course, it wasn't just the church that he brought back to life. He also brought faith back to life. When Jesus died on the cross, his followers didn't understand what was happening. They didn't get that that was the moment that Jesus won. Even though Jesus had told them multiple times that this has to happen, they still didn't quite get it. And so when that death happens, it left the disciples and his followers confused, depressed, grieving, and doubtful. They didn't believe. But then Sunday morning rolls around. And all of a sudden, things start happening. And Jesus' followers, they still don't really understand what's going on, but they do know that something is going on. They do understand that where there was once a body in a tomb, there is no longer a body in a tomb. And eventually, they understand that where there was once death, there is now life. If Jesus had stayed dead, our faith would have been nulled and void. Our faith can't be without the life of Christ, the new life of Christ. And so, of course, Jesus gives us that life. He shows us that we can trust in him, that we can believe him when he says that he will be raised from the dead. Which, of course, means that we can believe him when he says we will be raised from the dead. And then his people, now hearing this great news, can't help but share it with people. And so when eventually they get scattered, that's what they do. And they spread the good news to almost the entire world in less than a century. But what about you? What about you as the Christian here and now? You heard on Friday that when Jesus died on the cross, you died on the cross. you heard a little bit earlier, that in our baptism, we are bonded with Christ so that what happens to him happens to us. And so when he was killed, we were killed through our baptism. And that might sound like a bad thing, but it's actually the greatest thing that has ever happened. Because when you died, your guilt died. When you died, your sin died. Since you died, you will no longer die again the eternal death of hell. But again, if it had just stayed there, if it had just been the crucifixion, there would have been doubt. There would have been questions. People would have wondered, well, did it really work? And so know also that when Jesus rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. You are now a new man or woman. You now are able to have the hope, joy, peace, and love that comes from knowing that there is nothing more that can be done to you. You were already killed on the cross. What else can they do to you? And the answer is nothing. At least nothing that's going to last. This is the truth that we get to believe in. That we have already suffered the worst that we need to suffer in Christ. And that as we look forward, we can look forward with hope, knowing that it's going to be okay. But even more than that, we recognize that when Jesus rose from the dead, he actually had a real, live, human, physical body. Which means that when we rise from the dead, we will have real, live, human, physical body. You will be able to hug and to kiss your loved ones, to be able to see your friends. How great will it be when that happens, when we don't have to worry about sin and guilt? How glorious it will be. Also, now we have this new life in us. Now we can start to live the way that we were supposed to live. We're not going to be perfect at it. Make no mistake about that. But you don't have to be perfect at it. Because Christ died for your imperfection and is even now in the process of making you whole and complete. So that when you are raised on the last day, you will be able to live life the way that we're supposed to. You'll be able to do the things that you were destined to do from the beginning. You'll be able to live as you were created to live. And all of that is because of what we celebrate this day. The crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord changed everything. It changed the world. It changed the church. And it changed us. There is nothing more important that has ever occurred or ever will occur. Today, we celebrate the truth that when our Lord stepped forth to do battle with the world, our sin, and even death itself, that Jesus won. The victory now is ours. And there is nothing that can take that away. However, he knew that we humans aren't really good at the whole believing without seeing thing. And so he gave us something that we could see. He gives us baptism and tells us of how that binds us to him. He gives us the supper and tells us of how that sustains and strengthens our faith in him. These things which have occurred in your life that you can point to and say, that's when I was saved. That's when God strengthens me. And of course, he gives us his word, wherein he tells us over and over and over again of what he did for us then and of what he is still doing for us now. He doesn't do this because he likes to brag. He does it because he knows that we are really good at forgetting. Half the time we can't remember each other's names or what we had for breakfast, let alone remembering all the things that we have learned from the Word. So he gave us a place to come and to hear over and over again the truth. A place where we can be reminded and strengthened in our faith and in our community as fellow believers of Christ. Jesus has indeed risen from the dead. And that means that someday in the future, when Jesus comes back to judge the world, that we will see each other again. That we will be able to hug and kiss each other in real physical bodies. That we will finally be able to do what we were meant to do from the beginning. And most importantly of all, Jesus' new life is our new life. When that day comes, when Jesus comes back, we will never die again. And we will be able to spend all of eternity living our lives with our Lord and Savior, with our loved ones, and fulfilling the destiny that our Lord has set out for us. May Jesus come quickly so that we may see that day soon. He is risen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.